Blog Talk Radio.
Well. Hello, hello across the globe. Good day, good afternoon, good morning, buenos tardes, buenos dias, no matter where you are. This is Dr. J with your empowerment environment. Ooh, I like the way that sounds. Ooh, the empowerment environment. And of course, it's the Cultivate Show with Dr. J. As you know, at Cultivate, my goal is to serve, to inspire, to empower, and to motivate. That's what it's about. So today I'm excited. I'm really happy that I could get people so involved in understanding the 15 laws of growth written by John Maxwell. And so that's why it's so important to me on the show, to share these views as it becomes a platform for people to step into their greatness, to reflect on what others are thinking, and to have the opportunity to grow. That's what it's about. Helen Keller says that if we have no vision, we might as well be dead. So welcome again to the Cultivate Show. As you know, you could always call in at 646-652-2034. It's a moment for you to experience change. It's a moment for you to reflect. And it's certainly the moment to empower you and to motivate you and to tell you that you are destined with a purpose through faith. So let's start the show. All right, this is Dr. J. I'm happy to be with you because today my focus is on the law of reflection. Wow, the law of reflection. If I should say, sometimes we may just, when we reflect, just stop, drop, and pray. Because reflection turns experience into insight. Everybody needs a time and a place to pause. When you pause with intention, what you do is expand and you enrich your thinking. Never forget that your goal in personal growth is to reach your potential. And so you must keep pausing. Keep asking questions and keep growing every day. And that's what John Maxwell talks about when he talks about, and he wrote about the law of reflection. Learning to pause allows growth to catch up with you. I don't know about you, but pause several times, and growth has caught up with me. But when we think about reflection sometimes, there's so many things that we've been through over and over and over. And I'm sure if you're like me, if you look back at your life, ooh, Lord, my grandmother would say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out. I don't know if your soul is crying out right now, but I know that when I think back, I could understand that the law of reflection is so true. Learning to pause allows growth to catch up with you. That is so, such a great way to put it. You know, Peter Drucker says that, follow effective action with quiet reflection. From the quiet reflection will come even more effective action. I don't know about you, but I know that sometimes we have to stop and really reflect and think about where we were, where we want to be, and where we really want to stay. Simon Vincent Peale wrote it so good, Norman Vincent Peale, rather, in his book, The Positive, The Power of Positive Thinking. I love reading material because, again, it's those material that caused me to reflect and to really want to give the world moments like these, an empowerment environment. But when he talks about how to create your own happiness, he says, who decides whether you shall be happy or unhappy? The answer is you do. When you reflect, you have to make a decision about whether or not you want to be happy or not. And you may be saying, well, there are times when I just can't make the decision. And I want to say to you that you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your ship. And you have to be able to at some point stop, drop, and pray. That's what happens when you stop. You stop, you reflect, you drop, and you start getting humble. And when you pray and you have faith, I shared with someone yesterday about faith. I love to talk about it because when you have faith, faith is like an element. It's like a chemical. In other words, when you mix faith with prayer, what you're doing is you're bringing on a direct communication with infinite. You know, you're bringing on that communication, and as a result, you get into that moment. And when you're able to reflect, you can see a lot of things. But when Norman Vincent Peale talk about how to create your own happiness, he gave the story of a celebrity had a guest on his program who was a very old man. And he was a very old man indeed. His remarks were entirely unpremeditated and, of course, absolutely unrehearsed. They simply bubbled up out of a personality that was radiant and happy. And whenever he said anything, it was so naive, so apt, that the audience roared with laughter, and they loved him. The celebrity was impressed and enjoyed it with the others. And so he decided to ask the old man, why was he so happy? You must have a wonderful secret of happiness, he said. The old man said, no, I haven't any great secret. It's just as plain as the nose on my face. See, when I grew up in the morning, when I get up in the morning, I have two choices, to either be happy or to be unhappy. So what do you think I do? I just choose to be happy. And that's all there is to it. Now, just when you listen to this, just think about just that. You wake up in the morning, you have two choices. You can decide to be happy, or you can decide to be unhappy. Now, that may seem an oversimplification, and may seem sometimes superficial. But you can be unhappy if you want to be. Seriously. Because guess what? It is really the easiest thing in the world to accomplish. Just choose unhappiness. You can go around telling yourself that things aren't going quite well and nothing is satisfactory, and you can be quite sure of being unhappy. But let me say to you, if you say to yourself today, and if you can reflect, I don't know, maybe you've said that to yourself already, but if you say to yourself, things are going nicely, life is good, I choose happiness, guess what? Quite certain of having your choice. Now, I know that many of you know my story, and my story is just what it is. When I was 2 years old, my mother left me. She never returned, and my father gave me to my grandmother, and my grandmother gave me to her, back to my father. My father gave me to his girlfriend, and the girlfriend gave me to her mother, and the mother gave me back to the girlfriend, and then my father gave. Can you imagine? Every time I reflect, I could only remember that one quote that says, life is not about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. When I wrote my first book, Emotions, you know, emotions is just that word. It's all about emotion. And I used to sit down and think, why would my mother do what she did to me? And oh, my God, I can't believe it. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. And that reflection would draw me in such a bad space. Sometimes I would be just like, I do not want to be bothered with this world. Nobody wants me. Nobody cares for me. Why would I want to bother? But remember, life is not about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. And in order to, when you learn to pause, what you're doing is you're allowing growth to catch up with you. You really, really need to. You know, I wrote about my mother in my first book. I really did. And if you have a copy of it, you could always find a copy on my website. But I wrote this poem called Where is My Mother? I wrote that in 2007. Where is my mother? And I wrote, where is my mother, I often ask. When is she coming so I could see her face? Is she coming today or on Saturday? Will she come for a while or will she stay? Why can't she stay with us sometimes? Why did she leave without saying why? Will she really comb my hair? Will she make it really pretty like yours? Will she wash my face and my clothes? Will she hang them in the sun like yours? Will she make some dinner when she comes? Will we eat ice cream and snow cone? Did you say I look like her? Does she have the same skin and hair? Does she have the same eyes like me? Is she really as black as they say? Do we walk and talk the same? Will she hold my hand the same way you do? Will she tell me she loved me too? When will she come? When is she coming home? Will you be here when she comes to see me? What will she say when she sees me? Will I remind her of how she used to be? Will I be the girl she wants me to be? Whenever my mother comes to see me, I will make pretty clothes. I will make myself as pretty as her. I will tell her how much I love her. I will dress myself in all her clothes. I will get in her face and kiss her nose. I will hold her hands and never let go. Reflection. Hello, just reflection. Because guess what? These are my thoughts, as grown as I am today, back in 2007. 8 years ago, this was my thought, just thinking about my mother. But now that I'm grown up and I'm a leader and a speaker and a trainer, I'm changing people's lives, I realize the importance of moving on. See, we have to move on. We have to stop. We have to jump. We have to pray. Because we are not, everything that happens in our life is for a reason. Sometimes we don't want to reflect because we're afraid. But you have to reflect because you have to see what's going on. And John Maxwell makes it so clear when he talks about the power of pausing. There's power in it. And that's what reflection is to someone who desires to grow. Learning to pause, allow growth to catch up with you. And that's basically the law of reflection. And here are some things I want to share with you about the law of reflection. Reflection turns experience into insight. Wow. What is your experience today? What insight can you draw from anything that may have happened to you? Think about it. For such a long time, people have been saying experience is the best teacher. And I say it all the time, experience is a good teacher. Experience is the best teacher. But you know what? Today I could say to you, experience is a good teacher. But when I started changing lives and recognizing the importance of living and living creatively and learning, and I started developing a good sense of leadership and working with people and motivation, here's what I know. Experience is not the best teacher. Evaluated experience is the best teacher. Is that evaluation of the experience? That's the teacher right there. And you know, when we think about Roman Emperor Julius Caesar, he wrote, experience is the teacher of all things. That's what he said. Experience is the teacher of all things. And one of the reasons I would imagine that Caesar is about to make that claim was because he had learned much by reflecting on his life and writing about it. I've learned so much. If you look at my book, you've seen so much I've learned. And if you look at my second book, it's called Lead, Live, Energize, Activate, and Discover the Power Within. It's because I've been able to live that I've been able to energize my life, and I discovered that there's power within me. It doesn't matter what I reflect on, whether it's good or bad, I am the captain of my ship. I am the master of my fate. Whatever I reflect on will become, because thoughts are things and things are thoughts, and they really do become. They really do become. So we can be sure that reflection turns experience into insight. Another thing I could tell you is that everyone needs time and place to pause. Yes, we do. We sure do. If I was to meet a person who doesn't benefit from pausing and reflecting, then maybe I'll be thinking wrong. Because basically, when you stop to reflect, it's probably one of the best things you can do. Have you ever taken a walk in the park or maybe on the beach or maybe you're just driving and you're maybe in the back seat or reflecting or maybe you're just up in the middle of the night? And you're just reflecting, just whatever it is. Maybe you just got some time, or maybe you're in a class and you're asked to reflect, or whatever it is that causes you to reflect. Remember, stop to reflect is one of the most valuable activities that we can do to grow. What happens with that is that it has such much greater value than even motivation or encouragement. And why would I even think that? Because pausing allows people to make sure they're on the right track. That's what it does for us. After all, if someone is going down the wrong road, he or she doesn't need motivation to speed up. He or she needs to stop, reflect, and probably change course. That's what we need to do in our lives. If we don't take time to pause and reflect, guess what, my friends? We can miss out on the significance of life. Because reflection allows us to experience and to move on. It's like moving on from life markers to life markers. From, you know how you travel, you see those markers to markers. You're moving from one step to the other step, from one step. And so if we pause, it just makes our life better. It really do. Because we're not only understanding how the significance of it is better. We understand the significance of what we've experienced. And then guess what? Then we can start implementing changes. And then we can change the course of things. And guess what? Then we're able to better equip each other, equip ourselves, and to equip each other and to teach others from the wisdom that we have gained. That's what it's about. Because when we start reflecting, you know, we learn so much. We gain our wisdom. I guess they say as you get older, you gain wisdom because you have that experience. And then you're evaluating that experience and you recognize. And people recognize that you have wisdom. Because you have changes in your life. You can see it. They're significant. The next thing I want us to think about when it comes to the law of reflection is pausing with intention expands and enriches thinking. If you listen to some shows back, I talk about intentional thinking, the law of intentionality. It's got to be intentional. We have to want to change our lives. If you look at the lives of a lot of great people, you know, we want to be great. All of us want to be great. But if you look at the lives of a lot of great people who have made an impact on the world, you're going to find in virtually every case, they spend a lot of time thinking. And if you've ever seen the statue of the man, the thinking man, every religious leader, Martin Luther King, all of them, they spent a lot of time in solitude. They really did, because in order to really reflect, even great artists, you know, Van Gogh, people who are doing things and changing lives, they spent countless hours just thinking. And I want to share with you that time alone allows people to thoughts from their experience. Just time. Like someone said, give me just some time. You know, I've ever, anyone ever tried to talk to you and you said, just give me a little time. Just give me a little time. Because what you're basically trying to do is to really put things into perspective and plan for the future. I don't know where you are in your life, but even if you're a leader, if you're someone who is really in leadership position, what you can probably take is the normal business of your life and even multiply that by 10. You will be amazed what's going on. I love leadership. I love to talk about leadership because what I know is leaders are so action-oriented and have so many responsibilities, and they're just oftentimes just guilty of moving all the time. And so even in leadership, we find ourselves so hard to stop and take time to think. But I want to say to any leader out there, a minute of thought is worth more than an hour of talk. The law of reflection is so important. Henry Newman says that when you're able to create a lonely place in the middle of your action and concern, your successes and failures slowly can lose some of their power over you. What are you doing when you think of reflection? Reflection for me is so crucial. I say to you, stop, drop, and pray. Stop, drop. And when you're taking time out to pause, because the law of reflection says learning to pause allows growth to catch up with you. See, when you're taking time out to pause, I want to share some, we call them the eyes. investigate, incubate, and illuminate, and illustrate. And it just let me share those with you, because reflection is such a crucial part. Even if you're not in a leadership position, or your mother, father, sister, friend, wherever you are, you need time out. You're at that time out, right? When we talk about investigation and it comes to the law of reflection, I'll share this joke with you because it's interesting, right? Because there's two guys who have just given up the job of cleaning out the stable. And they're there, and they're up to their ankles in the horse manure, and one says to the other, you know, there must be a horse around here somewhere. Guess what? Some of the things are obvious and don't require reflection to figure them out. And guess what? Others require a person to play detective. Now, that didn't need any reflection. You know, Galileo says that all truths are easy to understand once they are discovered. The point is to discover them, and that takes investigation. Pausing, it means more than just slowing down to smell the roses. It means stopping and really figuring them out. Incubate. Let's think about incubate. Incubation is taking an experience of life and putting it into the slow cooker of your mind to simmer for a while. It is very similar to meditation. I don't know, meditation is good because some people just love to meditate. How you meditate, I'm not sure, but I like to meditate because when I meditate, I really pray to God. It's like the flip side of prayer, you know. I'm talking to God, I'm reflecting, and I'm just, wow, I'm into it. And so when we think of incubation, it's really like listening and learning. It really is. So there's investigation, there's incubation. The next one is illuminate. Illumination. Jim Rohn, I love Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn says, at the end of each day, you should play back the tapes of your performance. And guess what? That should either applaud you or prod you. And guess what he's talking about? Illumination. Those aha moments. Have you ever had those moments in your life where the epiphany is when you experience sudden realization or insight? And it's when the verbal light bulb turns on, like, boom, everything comes on. Few things in life are more rewarding than such moments. So I can say to you in reflection, I experience moments of illumination only after I spend time investigating an idea and then allowing it to incubate for a period of time. We went to investigation, incubation, illumination, and now it's illustration. Think about ideas. I know we all have so many great ideas. Ideas are like skeletons. They provide good structure, but they need meat on their bones. There's a guy, Peter Lesch, like he says, all of us are watchers of television, of time clocks, of traffic on the freeway, but few of us are observers. See, everyone is looking, but not many are seeing. And that isn't true for people who find a place to reflect and who are intentional about pausing to allow growth to catch up with them. We have to allow growth to catch up. I love to share thoughts because in James Allen, As a Man Thinketh, he talks about, we've been through so many circumstances, effect of thought circumstances. When we reflected, we're probably, you know, looking back at some of the thoughts and some of the things that have happened to us and our life and just where we were to where we are and where we want to be. And so reflection gets deep. It turns experience into insight. James Allen wrote, a man's mind may be likened to a garden. And it may be intelligently cultivated or just allowed to run wild. But whether our minds are cultivated or neglected, it must and will bring forth fruit. If no useful seeds are put into it, then abundance of seedless weed seeds will fall and will continue to produce their kind. So just like a gardener cultivates his plot, keeping it free from weeds and growing the flowers and fruits which he requires, so may man tend the garden of his mind. Weed out all the wrong, useless and impure thoughts, and cultivating towards perfection the flower and fruits of right, useful, and pure thoughts. By pursuing this process, a man sooner or later discovers that he is the master gardener of his soul. He is the director of his life. He also reveals within himself the flaws of thought and understands with ever-increasing accuracy how the forces and elements operate in shaping our character, our circumstances, and our destiny. I have said it before, thought and character are one. And as character can only manifest and discover itself through environment and circumstances, the outer condition of a person's life will always be found to be harmoniously related to his inner state. What are you reflecting on today? That's a good question right there. When I talk about that in thought and circumstances, this doesn't mean that a man's circumstances at any given time are an indication of his entire character, but that those circumstances are intimately connected with some vital thought element within himself that, for the time being, they're indispensable to his development. The law of reflection, right? Every man is where he is by the law of his being. The thoughts which he has built into his character have brought him there. And in the arrangement of his life, there is no element of chance, but all is the result of a law which cannot err. This is just as true of those who feel out of harmony, quote unquote, with their surroundings, as those who are contented with them. Think about the law of perfection. As a progressive and evolving being, man is where he is that he may learn, that he may grow. And as he learns the spiritual lesson which any circumstances contain for him, it passes away and gives place to other circumstances. Now, the law of reflection is really, really great. Man, when it comes to law of reflection, man is buffeted by circumstances so long as he believes himself to be the creator of outside conditions. But when he realizes that he is a creative power and that he may command the hidden soil and seeds of his beings out of which circumstances grow, he then becomes the rightful master of himself. That circumstances grow out of every man knows who has for any length of time, practice self-control and self-purification. Because guess what? He will have noticed that the alternation to circumstances have been in exact ratio with his altered mental condition. So true is this, that when a man earnestly applies himself to remedy the defects of his character and make swift and marked progress, what's going to happen? He passes rapidly through a succession of vicissitudes. That which loves and also that which it fears. That's powerful. The law of reflection. Every thought seed sown or allowed to fall into the mind and to take root there produces its own, blossoming sooner or later into act and bearing its own fruitage of opportunity and circumstances. Good thoughts bear good fruit. Bad thoughts bear bad fruit. So the outer experience, the outer world of circumstances shapes itself to the inner world of thought. And both pleasant and unpleasant external conditions are factors which make for the ultimate good of the individual. So when you think about the law of reflection, as the reaper of his own harvest, a man learns both of suffering and bliss. The law of reflection is real. Following the inmost desires, aspirations, thoughts by which he allows himself to be dominated, right? A man will at last arrive at their fruition and fulfillment in the outer condition of his life. The law of reflection. What are you reflecting on? When you think about the law of reflection, I know we've been through so many things. Because men do not attract what they want, but what which they are. They really do. And all of us, our whims, our fancies, and our ambitions, they're all thwarted at every step. But our inmost thoughts and our desires are fed up. It's fed with our own food, whether that food is clean or that food is not. So we're manifold by ourselves, by our thoughts and our actions. And our thoughts and our actions are really the jailers of faith, if you think about it. They either imprison us or they don't. But they're also the angels of freedom. So you can either, when you're reflecting, you go back and forth. Think about it. Our thoughts and our actions are like the jailers of faith, or they're like the angels of freedom. Right? We can lock ourselves up or we can liberate ourselves. The law of reflection. What has happened to you in your life? How are you changing your life? What has changed that you could possibly share with someone? Some people want to change, but they just keep reflecting. See, if you're reflecting and nothing is happening, you're just taking a walk and looking around, just looking at nature. Because men are anxious. So many people are just anxious to improve their circumstances, but they're unwilling to improve themselves. And when you reflect, you should be reflected to improve. They say that the man who does not shrink from self-crucifixion can never fail to accomplish the object upon which his heart is set. Some people reflect and they'll say, I have suffered so long. I've suffered so much. Let me tell you something about suffering and actions. Good thoughts and actions can never produce bad results. And at the same breath, bad thoughts and actions can never produce good results, right? So when we reflect, this is what's saying that nothing can come from corn but corn. Nothing can come from grapes but grapes. We have to understand this law in the natural world and work with it. But only few people understand it. It's a mental and moral world, right? That we just think certain things. And when we reflect and we say we're suffering on inside, or he or she's suffering. Let me just say to you that suffering is always the effect of wrong thought in some direction. It's an indication that the individual is out of harmony with him or herself or with the law of his own being. Because the sole and supreme use of suffering is to purify, is to burn out all that is useless and impure. Suffering ceases for any person who is pure. There could be no object in burning gold after the dross has been removed. We say we've been through so many circumstances. But the circumstances which anybody encounters with suffering or really the result of his own mental inharmony. Some people say, oh, I'm blessed. Oh, she's blessed. Oh, they're blessed. They reflect and they go back and say, I am blessed. That's a good reflection. That's a nice reflection. I am so blessed. Right? So when we think of that blessedness, it's not material possession. It's the measure of the right thought. Because a man may be cursed and rich, he may be blessed and poor. And what we find is that blessedness and riches are only joined together when the riches are rightly and wisely used. So when we think about the law of reflection, we can only be sure and know that thoughts of fear, doubt, and indecision crystallize into weak, unmanly, and irresolute habits. And those habits, all they do is solidify into circumstances of failure, indigence, and slavish dependence. Think about it. Lazy thoughts crystallize into weak habits of uncleanliness and dishonesty, and those solidify into circumstances of foulness and beggary. So when we reflect, When we reflect and we're reflecting, think of beautiful thoughts. Because beautiful thoughts of all kinds crystallize into habits of grace and kindliness. And those are solidified into genial and sunny circumstances. Pure thoughts crystallize into habits of temperance and self-control. And those solidify into circumstances of repose and peace and happiness. Thoughts of courage, self-reliance, and decision, they crystallize into manly habits, which solidify into circumstances of success, plentiness, abundance, and freedom. And if you have energetic thoughts, it crystallizes into habits of cleanliness and industry, and it solidifies into circumstances of pleasantness, reflection. What you reflect on, you become. If you have gentle and forgiving thoughts, it crystallizes into habits of gentleness. Yeah, and that solidifies into protective and persevering and circumstances. So what are you reflecting on today? When you think of reflection, what are you thinking of? Let a man cease from his sinful thoughts, and all the world will soften towards him. Isn't that wonderful? And be ready to help him. Let a man put away his weakly and sickly thoughts, and opportunities will spring up on every hand to aid his strong resolve. Let a man encourage good reflections, and no hard fate shall bind him down to shame. Let me tell you, my friends, the world is your kaleidoscope, and the varying combination of colors which at every succeeding moment it presents to you are exquisitely adjusted pictures of your ever-moving thoughts. Wow. What are you reflecting on as you reflect on those things? John Maxwell says, good thoughts, good questions are the heart of reflection. Good questions. And so when you ask questions, you could ask questions like, what is my biggest asset? What is my biggest liability? What is my highest high? You know? What is my lowest low? What is my most worthwhile emotion? What is my least worthwhile emotion? What is my best habit? What is my worst habit? What is most fulfilling to me? What do I prize most highly? Reflection. Just think about it. Because what you want to accomplish in life and where you are in your journey will really determine what areas you most need to think about today. That's what the law of reflection is about. Learning to pause allows growth to catch up with you. I don't know, again, where you are in your personal growth, but never forget that your goal in personal growth is reaching your potential. And to do that, you just need to keep pausing, keep asking questions, and keep growing every day. Arnold says this really great statement. The wise man questions himself, the fool questions others. You ask yourself those questions. Make it intentional to ask yourself tough questions. Whatever your issue is, create questions around it and spend time answering those questions during your scheduled time of reflection. So this is your moment, your empowerment moment. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. J on the Cultivate Show, creating and bringing to you this empowerment environment, telling you about all the law of reflection. And again, I'm looking at the 15 laws of growth. John Maxwell makes it clear in the 15 invaluable laws of growth. You are destined with a purpose through faith. I know that I came on and I started this show simply because I want to share to the world how my life is changing. And so with the 15 laws, I've brought you 3 laws. Next week, I'm going to bring to you the law of consistency, because after you become aware and you know that you're ready to change, we spend some time on the law of intentionality, the law of awareness, the law of the mirror, the law of reflection. And so next time I'll bring to you the law of consistency, because in that it says that motivation gets you going. Discipline keeps you growing. I want somebody to tell me how discipline is keeping them growing. Ben Tressel says that the hallmark of excellence, the test of greatness, is consistency. Thank you so much for joining me on the Empowerment Environment. It's Dr. J. You know you can connect with me at www.johnmaxwellgroup.com/SharonJohnson. You can also visit comtivate.com. Certainly feel free to call 954-802-8515. As a coach, speaker, and trainer, I want to remind you that you are dealing with a great, with a purpose through faith. You have greatness within you. Step into your greatness. Do the things that you have to do. Reflect, stop, drop, pray. Think about it. Because yesterday ended last night. You become what you think, and you think and become, and you are the captain of your soul. You are the master of your fate. You, only you can make changes in your life. Reflect today and know that His plans are so great. Are you ready to change your life? As a coach, that's what I do. I help people to step into their greatness progressively. Follow me. Call me. Write to me. Visit my website, see what it's about. Again, it's www.johnmaxwellgroup.com/SharonJohnson. And it's the Comtivate Show, C-O-M-T-I-V-A-T-E. Visit me at comtivate.com. Stay beautiful, stay fabulous, stay motivated. Thank you for joining me on the Comtivate Show, where my goal is to inspire, empower, and motivate. Be strong.